2025. For those of you who looked back in the year 2000 and wondered if 2025 would ever get here, it's here. So we have a lot of things to do here at the airport, and Angel and her team are certainly engaged in those. So I'll call the meeting to order, and we'll start out with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Nice flag on the screen. Thank you, Hannah. We'll go ahead and do a quick roll call, just in time. Thaddeus, walk in really quick. All right. You can tell by his puffing that he ran up the stairs. Didn't trust the elevator escalator. All right. Roll call for commissioners. Commissioner West?
Here.
Commissioner Schrader?
Here.
Commissioner Marshall?
Here.
Commissioner Kleinman?
Here.
Commissioner Kennedy? He's maybe joining us online.
I just texted him the link.
Okay. So he will be joining us online. Commissioner Davis,
here.
And I have the honor to serve as chair. Tom Benton is here. Okay, now we'll have a Grand Junction Airport Authority staff roll call, if you would, please. Okay.
Yes, I can do that. In the room, we have Executive Director Angela Padalecki, Finance Manager Jennifer Croker, Director of Facilities Ben Peck, Director of Operations Dylan Heberlein, Human Resource Manager Victoria Hightower, Office Coordinator Christina Warren, Finance Specialist Travis Portnier, Intern Berlin Lay, and Airport Security Coordinator Don Wilson. And then online we also have Preston Toborg, Brandon Maton, and Tyler McClyman.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Also online is our legal counsel, Dan Raymer. Dan, thank you for joining us today. We did notice that you have a new mugshot when it comes through on this end. I don't know if that your program is defaulting to something different or what happened there, but we do notice the uptake for 2025. Nice to have you here, Dan.
Good to be with you.
All right, very good. And I think Colin Bible may be on with us as well. Colin, thank you for joining us. We see your name there, so we're assuming you're behind it today. Would you just
come here?
All right.
Morning.
Appreciate that, Colin. All right. We also have guests with us today. Former Commissioner Erling Brayback. Thank you for being here. And a member of our Finance and Audit team, Dan Myers, back there in the back row as well. And I don't know that I remember your name, so help me out one more time.
Me?
You, yes.
Erling.
Well, very good. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Sometimes when you get older, you forget names, so thank you. All right. Let's go ahead and look at our agenda for today. If everybody's had a chance to review the agenda, are there any items on the agenda that need attention, either perhaps a spelling name in the consent agenda item? Okay.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, we have a misspelling of the consent item C, consent to lease assignment. Adrian was misspelled on the agenda. I apologize. It is supposed to be A-D-R-I-A-N.
Okay, so noted for the minutes, or so noted for the agenda. Spelling change. Anything else on the agenda today? Okay. Entertain a motion to approve the agenda as modified.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you. Commissioner comments for today. I have a couple. I think we have a new employee for airport security, Don Wilson. Don, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Do you have just a couple of minutes to share your background for commissioners and kind of
sure.
What you've been involved in?
Yeah. So again, my name is Don Wilson. I'm the new airport security coordinator. I started 2 weeks ago on my third week. A little bit about me. I am married. I have two grown children. I am a native Coloradan. After graduating high school, I joined the United States Air Force, and I served for 21 years. After honorably retiring, I went on to work for Mace County Criminal Justice Services for about 10 years, and then did a little time in the private sector working with the developmentally disabled. After that, I decided that I'd love to work for the airport, and I was happy to join on board, and just great to be here.
That's great. Thank you
Thank
for
you.
Joining us. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
I think we also want to recognize another employee that's not here today, and that's an employee that's celebrating their 5th year anniversary. And I may mispronounce this, so please bear with me. Brzeda?
Brzeda.
Brzeda, thank you very much. Rivas, one of our Grand Junction airport building and custodians, celebrating 5 years of work here with the airport. And for those of you who have met her, she's a very bubbly individual and takes the job seriously. So if you'd be so kind as to present
sure.
that to her, thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Other announcements from commissioners. I just have one. It's kind of that annual time of the year when the commissioners will begin reviewing and preparing Angela Padalecki's review for the year. So please anticipate the next couple weeks a draft coming from Lindy and I. We encourage commissioners to make comments on that, and then that'll kind of roll through the process the next couple months. So just as a heads up, you'll see an email from us with a draft document. Anything else today? Citizen comments? We're okay now with that?
Mr. Chairman, we do not have any citizen comments.
Very good. So our consent agenda has a couple of items. It's the minutes from the last meeting and the employee handbook amendment. Thank you, Dan, and staff members for working on those changes. And the consent to lease, which we've noted the change in the spelling from GMF Investments to, obviously, Adrian Aviation. That's a very unusual LLC name. Obviously, we'll have to catch up the rest of the story on that one later.
I'll be happy to oblige.
Okay, very good. Those are the three items. If there's any questions from commissioners to pull an item to be heard, please raise your hand. If not, I'll entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda as modified.
And just to clarify, item C is spelled correctly. And so in the actual lease, and so we don't need to pull that from consent to approve it.
Correct, yes, okay. The actual lease assignment is spelled correctly.
Perfect.
So it was just the agenda that was incorrect on the slide before you is correct spelling as well.
Perfect.
Thank you, Lindy, for the clarification.
Can I make a motion to approve the consent agenda?
Second.
Been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign?
Aye.
Thank you. Please note that Cody is with us again online.
Cody Kennedy.
Cody Kennedy, right. Okay, motion carries, unanimous. All right, first item of action. Today is our reappointment of our at-large commissioner. This is Lindy Marshall. Her term comes around this year. It's the board's behalf to appoint our at-large commissioner and then ratified by the city council and county commissioners. Is that correct? That'll be headed their way in the next agenda item for them. So, commissioners, this is the item on the agenda for today. And Lindy, thank you for your past service, and we're hoping it'll continue.
Yes, it would be an honor. Yeah, 4 years has flown by. I think, right. In fact, it's 5. I filled a vacancy. So it's been an honor to serve on this board.
And a wonderful job. Is there a motion to approve the reappointment of Lindy Marshall as our at-large commissioner?
So moved.
Thank you.
Second.
Moved and seconded.
Second.
Thank you, Cody Kennedy. Further discussion? Hearing none. Ask for a vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign?
Aye.
All right.
Thank you all.
Motion carries. Very good. We also have a meeting notice. This is what we do annually. And Angela, you might just, or Dan, either one, just refresh our memory on why we adopt this resolution each year.
We're required under statute the board is required to state where meetings will be posted. What you have before you is what we have done for the past several years. And it goes above and beyond the baseline requirements in statute. Baseline requirement is really needs to be posted online, but we also post up here. Very proud that we stick to this. It's an important aspect of fulfilling our requirements under the Sunshine Laws.
Thank you. So, in compliance with Colorado Revised Statute 246-402, there's a resolution that the meeting times have been included in your packet and location. Entertain a motion to approve resolution number 2025-01.
So moved.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Further discussion on the item? Hearing none, we'll do a roll call vote. Commissioner Schrader?
Aye.
Commissioner West?
Aye.
Commissioner Marshall?
Aye.
Commissioner Kennedy?
Yes.
Thank you. Commissioner Kleiman?
Aye.
Commissioner Davis?
Yes.
Chair votes in approval as well. Thank you. All right, getting through the compliance items pretty quick here today. Next item on the agenda is our annual officer and committee appointments. Appreciate everybody's service in the past. Done a wonderful job. Everybody on committees and commissioners in attendance, and good job with that. Very spirited items, but now is your opportunity to select leadership going forward from this meeting. Let's see, I've got the table here, and it's up on the, including a blueprint. So, the chair position is elected by the members of the board, as is the vice chair, the treasurer, and the clerk. And in the past, Jennifer, thank you for your service as our treasurer, and Cameron, thank you as well. Well, in essence, the process is for the board to nominate a chair each year, and then we'll follow on down through these positions. So open on the agenda today is nominations for chairman for the next year.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I'd like to make a motion to appoint Lenny Marshall as chairman of the board.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
Been moved and
Second.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Further nominations for the position of chair? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to close nominations for the position of chair.
So moved.
Is there a second?
So moved.
Very good. It's been moved and seconded to advance Lenny Marshall as chair of the board. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign? Motion carries.
Thank you all. And a big thank you to Tom, who has served as chairperson of this board for 6 years.
Absolutely.
It's big shoes to fill, and we just appreciate your service, Tom.
Well, it's been an honor, and I appreciate allowing me to slide when I goof up from a lot of times. So, thank you for your mercy along the way. Really appreciate that. It's been a great organization. It is a great organization.
We have you until April, that's correct?
March.
March. Thank you for your leadership.
Okay, Cameron, I kind of skipped a step in there. I went to Robert's rules of the process, so I'll try and get back on track for that.
No, you did it great.
Okay.
Now we just need a motion to elect.
Okay. All right. According to our bylaws, now that we have the nomination approved, we need a motion actually to elect Lenny Marshall. Do I hear that?
So moved.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Very good. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Very good. Motion carries.
Thank you.
All right. Complete the process. Congratulations, Lenny. Yes. For those of you who know Lindy, she's been really involved in a number of organizations in this community, and I've had the chance to sit with her in the exec committee, and she's been a huge asset and different lens than what guys bring to the table, so thank you.
Thank you, Tom.
All right, our next item will be vice chair, filling Lindy's position. That position does, we encourage the vice chair to sit with the executive committee to address the agenda items that are coming forward or other items that might be forthcoming, just to have that additional lens. So if taking that position, we'd anticipate that there is an additional meeting requirement each month. Usually lasts about an hour and a half. Angela's done a marvelous job of keeping that very succinct. So that is one of the additional requirements of that position. And also anticipate that the ACH items, if the chair doesn't approve those, they're going out, you need to get on Home Loans Bank website and sign off approval for those as well. So just know there's a couple things going on. Entertain a motion for our vice chair.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to make a motion to appoint Chris West as vice chair.
I'd second that. All right, been moved and seconded. Additional nominations for vice chair. Hearing none, entertain a motion to close the nominations for vice chair.
So moved.
Second.
Thank you. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you, Cody. Now, entertain a motion to elect Chris West as vice chair of the Grand Traverse Regional Airport Board.
So moved.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
All right. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Chris West will be your
Aye.
Very good. Chris West will be your new vice chair for the next year. Thank you.
Thank you.
I really appreciate it. All right. Our treasurer is another position we need to appoint. Staff recommendation?
Staff recommends appointing Sarah Mengi, who is coming back to the airport starting next month on a full-time role, but she is already on staff in that strategic advisor role.
Sarah's filled that duty before as an employee of here. Jennifer's done a marvelous job in that position. Certainly some responsibilities with that because you have to sign off on our financial statements to go to FAA, the state, et cetera. So there's, it comes with a little bit of, well, quite a bit of significant responsibility as well. Any other nominations for treasurer? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion for the nomination of treasurer. Whoops, we don't have it from you, from a board member. Would a board member please nominate Sarah Mengi for that position of treasurer?
So moved.
Okay, very good.
I'll second that.
Moved and seconded. Any other nominations? No, okay. Entertain a motion to close nominations for treasurer.
So moved. Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion to elect Sarah Mengi.
Aye.
Thank you, Cody. A motion to elect Sarah Mengi as our treasurer for this next year.
So moved.
Second. Moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Great. Thank you, Cody. And our clerk, staff recommendation for clerk for the next year.
I recommend Victoria Hightower for the position of clerk, and I think you can do these together. We haven't had a deputy clerk in a while, but I recommend that Cameron Reese as the deputy clerk.
That's a good idea, having a deputy, because occasionally moms have to go do something.
That's true.
Okay. We have a staff recommendation for clerk and deputy clerk, and I entertain a motion to nominate Victoria Hightower for clerk, and if it's okay with everybody, Cameron Reese for deputy.
So moved.
Been moved. Is there a second?
Second.
Very good. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Entertain a motion to close nominations for deputy and assistant deputy.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Aye, second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Very good.
That's how we all feel.
And finally. You guys are catching on quick here. I can't keep up anymore. Okay, let's have a motion to elect Victoria Hightower as clerk and Cameron Reese as our deputy clerk for 2025.
So moved.
Been moved. Second?
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries. Very good. There are committees of the board.
May I just jump in and say thank you, Jennifer. Thank you, Cameron, for your service. You guys have been incredible, and we're so grateful for you. And we're grateful that you're still sticking around.
Yeah. Yeah, well said. There's a lot of dotting of the I's, crossing of the T's, reading the minutes, making sure the stuff's there the way it was, so.
Herding of the cats, Cameron.
Yeah, right.
So, Victoria, you're up.
Made one misspelling my whole career, and I
Let's see what happens. Good thing it wasn't a commissioner's name. All right. And the committees will be forthcoming as well. Lindy, that's gonna be kind of your thing then.
Yeah.
I used to work with folks for those committees. Until then, the current committee structure will stand as we see them here today for those members, which is good. And then we'll talk a little bit about our commissioner appointments. We do have some vacancies coming up. Dan, do you want to just chat about how these terms came together and kind of what that looks like going forward for folks and how we stack up for appointments?
Sure. Just a reminder, as you see on the slide, we keep track of commissioner appointments. The state statute, Colorado Public Airport Authorities Act, limits terms to 4 years. In our bylaws, for the last several years, we have imposed two term limits of two full consecutive terms. So commissioners are limited to 8 years, or if they're filling a vacancy, 10 years, but two full consecutive terms. To be clear, this is a requirement that we have imposed within our bylaws. The term limits do not come from state statute. Some of you who serve in complementary roles as local elected officials know that the Colorado Constitution limits local elected officials to term limits of the thing, to consecutive full terms. And so my guess is that that's where we pulled that from the state constitution, applicable to elected, not appointed officials. And so this is not something that the state statute requires. This is not something that our peer airport authorities in the state impose, but your predecessors determined that for our purposes, that the term should be limited to two consecutive full terms. And if you look at the state constitution, maybe the genesis was the same. The constitution says in order to broaden the opportunities for public service, and so that may have been the thinking behind our own term limits. But to be clear, this is a self-imposed restriction. The board, if it so chooses, could amend the bylaws in order to relieve this pressure and change the term limit or abandon it entirely. But that's why we have what we have and what you see on the chart, and why it shows Tom and Thaddeus rolling off in the spring of this year.
Great. Thank you for the background on that, Dan. And I guess where I kind of bring that up is there are links at Mesa County's website for nominations for people to apply, I should say. And I believe the city of Grand Junction has that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Thaddeus, I know you're right in the mix of the airport design stuff that's mm-hmm. going on, which you know may influence some discussion about the term limits along those lines.
Right. We have been talking about the momentum that we've got underway with the airport interior and exterior design, and it has been an absolute pleasure over the past several years, going all the way from the very beginning of redoing all of the air conditioning systems and interior upfit, and kind of leveraging that design and construction background against helping the airport make decisions around that and finding our way. But it's been wonderful serving with Lindy and the greater design team at large for the whole airport design. I'd be very interested to continue in that role. I don't want to prevent somebody else who's interested in helping out here. I like using my kind of blended from aviation and from construction mentality to serve. And so, I'd love to at least finish that project, should it please the board. And if not, I totally understand.
You know, your time and investment here has been huge for that, Thaddeus. And of course, there's other ways to manage that should the city come up with something different or the board not make some changes or whatever. But an ad hoc committee around that would be particularly valuable in that process to keep that engagement. So I guess we can discuss this at the February meeting, probably,
mm-hmm.
Making changes or methodologies by which to retain expertise of board members in those specific ways.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's really important in this case, to maintain that commitment, aptitude and attitude, as I said,
sure.
in that process. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I don't see any different than what we've done in the past with Clay Tuffley as well, who was off the board and continues to serve on an ad hoc committee.
Right.
If we don't change the structure of the board, I think it's very appropriate that Thaddeus command on that ad hoc committee. And is it the chairman who selects those ad hoc
mm-hmm.
committees anyways?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So I don't even know if it's a board decision anyways, but
yeah.
I'd be happy to have Thaddeus continue serving in that capacity.
Thank you, Cody.
He's been such an asset, especially with his background in design and as a pilot. And so part of the conversation also, I think, that we can continue to have and you guys can just think about is the airport is such a complex beast. And by the time our terms are ending, we rarely have someone who serves the full term, much less, you know, two. And then by that time that's over, you're finally walking in your strengths in terms of knowledge, understanding. And so just a conversation to have, if we did want to amend those bylaws to another term, what does that look like? Is it valuable? And to your point, Cody, if it's more appropriate just to create a pro bono, or an ad hoc, excuse me, committee for a specific project. So I think it's worth having that conversation. And thank you for your willingness to serve.
Sure, absolutely.
Thanks, Tom.
Yeah, you bet. Good conversation. That concludes our officer appointments, and there'll be more forthcoming with the committee side of things from Lindy going forward. Did I miss anything there, Ken, in this particular agenda?
Chairman, you did great. Thank
you. Okay, very good. Thank you. Next item on the agenda is our FAA reimbursable agreement for permanent navigational aid design and construction associated with runway 1230 relocation. It's a $197,000 item. Are you introducing it? Colin is? Colin is. Very good. Colin, I did.
Hey, good morning.
When you're not here, it's hard to remember your a virtual presence. You need a bigger face up here on the board. So.
I need a mugshot, as you call it, like Dan.
Absolutely. We'll look forward to how creative an engineer can be with a mugshot. So give it your best. All right. Go ahead and bring us into item D.
Okay, you got it. I was trying to turn my camera on, but it's not wanting to cooperate. So
there it is.
Oh, there it goes. Okay, so item D, as you mentioned, is for the permanent nav aid design. Really, this is the FAA's portion. We spent a little bit of time talking about the next step is to really finish the runway and get that open. And so this is the FAA's portion of that design. And so what that includes is really Mead and Hunt is going to have a big role on that as well, but it is reviewing the plans that Mead and Hunt puts together. Some of the equipment the FAA actually has to procure themselves, so it's planning for that procurement and finding that equipment from other locations, as well as all the procedure development on their end. And so this task order is for $197,810. 95% of that is FAA eligible. And so that's a limited time. It's usually 90-10, but for the next 2 years, it's 95-5 split. So less than 10,000 for the airport. We have put in a grant application. We did that last month for a much larger dollar amount than this as a placeholder. We didn't know what that number was going to be, so we guessed pretty big with the FAA's guidance. So this fits easily within that larger placeholder amount. We expect that grant in September of 25.
Very good. Questions for Colin? Yes, Lee. Sure.
What is the anticipated cost of the equipment for this design?
Multi-million. It matters. We don't really control that. They procure it, and they'll tell us through this process. We're still pretty early. My guess, though, is $2 million. It's probably what we're talking about.
Thank you.
One other thing I'll mention too is, so this is really focused. It says design and construction, but it's really design. There's a little bit that is construction adjacent. Next year, we plan on bidding this work. Around that same time, there'll be a construction, FAA construction RA as well, that'll come with that. And that's going to be for them to send their staff out on site and manage the installation and siting of that equipment. But this is just for design.
Additional questions for Colin? Hearing none, entertain a motion to approve item D, FAA reimbursable agreement for permanent navigational aid design primarily and construction associated with runway 1230 relocation project.
I so move with one comment once it's seconded.
I'll second.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. On page 3, Article 4, points of contact, there's just a misspelling on number 1. The email address does not have a dot anything after it. I assume that needs to be a dot FAA. I mean, FAA.
Will you state where that is?
I'm sorry. Article 4, points of contact.
Page 3 of 10.
Page 3 of 10.
So 88 in our board packet.
Page 88 of the board packet?
Correct. and in A, section one.
Yes, Matthew D.
Matthew Robertson.
Yeah, got it. Do you see it, Cameron?
I'll look it up.
I'll screenshot it.
I'm glad I could contribute today.
I'm thoroughly impressed.
So that's a friendly amendment to the motion. I appreciate that. Let's be sure that the .com, at least the email address.
@FAA.
Yeah, let's make sure the email address matches with the document. How's that? So it's portable electronically. Okay, very good. Thank you, Lee. It's been moved and seconded. Further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Did we lose Cody Kennedy?
Yeah, he had a noon.
Okay, all right, very good. All right, that completes our action items. So we're discussion items. We'll have the airport goals. But before we do the airport goals, I think everybody was given a conflict of interest form. This lasts for the full year, right? So, great. So be sure and take a moment to disclose any relationship you may have where you're a vendor with the airport or you're a contractor or something of that nature. Please call those out. If none, please check the no conflict and no relationship exists. Dan, we don't have to disclose the fact that we're airport board directors, right, under the relationship. That always struck me as something that we just ought to have clarification on.
No, I think they're asking for relationships that may present a conflict because of you might derive an economic benefit from another relationship separate from being a board member.
Right, but if you are a tenant, you probably ought to put that on there.
Yeah, for sure. Correct.
Okay, very good. All right, so if you'll complete those and turn them back to Cameron, that'd be great. Okay, airport goals is our next item. Angela.
Next slide. I'm sorry that this is an eye chart when you look at it on this big screen, but last month we reviewed our 2024 goals and our goal performance. So what you have before you are draft goals that from staff perspective, this represents a pretty aggressive set of goals for us and what we'd like to accomplish. It's roughly in prioritized order, and we think of things in objectives first. That's what you see as numbers, and then goals that support those objectives, because those objectives don't tend to change much from year to year. So first, maintaining sustainable air service growth. I'm excited to share, and I have more to share during my report on this. Last year was in fact our busiest year ever as measured by passenger traffic. We had 571,000 passengers. Our prior record was just shy of 526,000, so a big difference. That was back in 2021. In 2023, so the prior year, actually now 505,000 passengers. So we're talking about 65,000 more passengers served last year. So we're entering 2025 from a real high spot. We want to maintain growth, but you see more conservative numbers up here because we're going to be growing into a lot of the numbers that we saw last year. So what we'd like to see is 5% growth. That still represents an aggressive growth target in aviation. The terminal area forecast that the FAA uses to forecast for the whole country typically you see about 3% growth. So that's still a pretty aggressive number. And 5% also would have us reach that 600,000 passenger milestone, which is wild. I mean, most of the commissioners on this board were here when we hit 500,000 passengers, and now we're talking about 600. And with that, we'd like to also see increases in seat capacity from our airline partners. Last year, the airlines grew seats by 13%. That's a big number. Load factors are in a really good spot, so we would really just like to see continued growth that matches passenger traffic growth. We don't want to find ourselves in a situation where we're short on seats and we're seeing load factors in the 90s. We want to stay in the 80s because it means that they're adding that supply in accordance with the demand growing. I promise I won't go through every single one of these, but I do want to go through just a few. You know, we want to retain all the air service that we have. We did lose Allegiant at the beginning of this month, but very proud that Breeze filled that void instantly to make sure that we had continued service to Las Vegas. And again, that aircraft is quite a bit smaller than the Allegiant aircraft. So we think it's better size. That fits into the capacity growth too, though, right? So that's fewer seats. But we would like to see more frequency to hubs, especially on American. You know, we see American dropping to two daily to DFW and two daily to Phoenix sometimes. Sometimes they're up to as many as four. And so we really want to see more hub connectivity. When we look at Delta, we feel the same way. You know, we're at two most days of the week, but we'd really like to see that number higher. We'd welcome continued growth to Denver, but we think that one's in pretty good shape with six daily to Denver. But the other hubs, we'd really like to see growth. This year, we will we'll deploy a new airport website without getting into technical details because I don't understand them. The existing framework of our website is such that it really limits our ability to do cool things on there that we want to do. And most notably, we really like to add a booking tool for passengers. And we've worked really hard the last few years with prospective vendors and different companies who are trying to pull booking information together in a way that really aggregates everyone, including the ultra low cost carriers. And so an Expedia, for example, you can book on most of the network carriers, but typically you can't book on ultra low cost carriers. The ultra low cost carriers have to pay to be part of that service. They don't want to pay. That's in contrast to something like Google Flights that actually scrapes airline websites. And so it's aggregating data and then sending you to the airline website. For us, we really have two goals. We want to make sure all the airlines who serve the airport are covered if we put a tool like this on there. And we really want passengers booking through the airline themselves. It's just a superior passenger experience, and that relationship is really important. Almost all of the phone calls we get from passengers here or contacts on our website are from people who booked through a third party. And so now there's someone in between them and the airlines when things are awry, it doesn't go well. Ben Peck and Ryan Springer have been working hard on figuring out the best path forward on a new website, and they're feeling confident in the plan they have, and so we'd like to see that deploy this year. You see that under the air service goals because we do think that that is part of the strategy to be able to grow passenger traffic, is really having that centralized spot people can come to book. And then last, this one was a carryover from last year, securing service to a new Easter destination by 2026. Any questions on our...
Just a quick one about leakage, but maybe we're going to go through that in the detailed report later. We went from 500 to 600. Is part of that because we keep chipping away at leakage, or mm-hmm. is leakage still a percentage of total that remains fairly constant?
That's a really good question. So leakage is pretty stable. As you'll remember, leakage was really high pre-pandemic, mostly to Denver. It dropped to almost nothing because no one was going anywhere in the pandemic. And then as we were recovering, it remained really low because we had all the air service and people weren't flying out of other airports, especially Denver. A few years post-pandemic, what we see is stability. We have more leakage to the local airports in the surrounding area, to Montrose, to Eagle, to Aspen, than we had pre-pandemic. We still have almost no leakage to Denver and very little to Salt Lake. And so the growth is really driven by just increases in demand, frankly.
Yeah.
So whether it's pulling from a broader region, part of it is certainly that we've been able to maintain those low leakage levels, though. But it hasn't been going down. I think it's actually inched up a little bit just because the ski communities have grown so much that winter leakage is relatively high. But even that winter leakage to the surrounding airports is still a fraction of what the year-round leakage to Denver was pre-pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And when we're talking about regional leakage, it's folks that just want to hit it in the winter because they can go direct Chicago or
somewhere. Yeah, and they're leaving that's an important point. So pre-pandemic, the leakage was driven by fares. They were leaking to Denver to achieve lower fares, and nonstop, but mostly lower fares. What we see post-pandemic is leakage is driven by nonstop access.
Yep.
So people are paying a lot more flying out of other airports that have nonstops. And the example we've used in the past is the seasonal Miami flight out of Eagle. And, you know, on average, in 2023, passengers paid twice as much to take that nonstop to Miami out of Eagle as they paid to fly from Grand Junction and connect to Miami.
Hmm.
Angela, another little question along that line of the increase in passengers. If we took the 570,000 and add in the Delta flights, which would that be 90 people a day or something like that? What would that look like for Deltas?
Yeah, so Delta has 1.7 flights per day on average on a 50-seater. So, you know, it's roughly 85-ish seats. And so that's most passengers they could have. But what we see this year is, you know, a few changes, and they end up netting out almost. Yeah. So capacity for the first half of the year is up 3% versus last year, first half of the year. That's because Allegiant, in total seats, right?
Yep.
So Allegiant had those big planes with lots of seats. Now we have Breeze with smaller aircraft, so that accounts for 20 to 30 seats per day. But we have the extra, you know, 85 from Delta. And then Breeze last year, the SMA service, was starting in February. This year it doesn't come back until April. And so there's a little bit of swapping. Last year we actually saw the average size aircraft reach an all-time high in our market. So kind of departures per seat, and I have more on that in my report. But I actually think that'll come down a little bit just because, you know, we have 50 seaters on Delta. We have 137 seaters on Breeze instead of the 160 plus.
Are you seeing additional support and increased marketing to those target markets in 2025 compared to 2024? Are we getting more focus from Air Service Alliance or Visit Grand Junction or whomever?
I think everyone is continuing to invest heavily there. A couple of these routes will qualify for better incentives from us. So like in the case of the Delta service, they're going to see incentives from us under the Small Community Air Service Development Grant Program. In our application, we outlined $100,000 in marketing support from the Air Service Alliance, and so that will be supported. It can be deployed, you know, over the course of the grant. But I think we'll continue to see strong marketing support.
It feels like, although there's been some gains in Amazon and a couple of other employers in the community, the increase in students, that helps a lot too. But on the horizon, is there any big hits for employers or change of something for this community? Are we aware of anything with GJEP that'll help that passenger travel?
Yeah, economic development here, and I think it's fortunate and deliberate, right? You know, it's lots of drops in a bucket,
yeah.
Not, you know, one faucet that turns on and off. And so I think that's a superpower of ours, but it also means that the travel patterns, you know, are drops here and there. But what's nice is the overall level has just been growing and growing. The airlines have been very clear that they're happy with the performance here. With the exception of American in the winter, to their hubs, they've made strategic reductions that really just bring us back down to, we're still above pre-pandemic levels. But, you know, that take us from those pandemic highs and say, hey, there's some seasonality to that. We don't want them to be quite that high in the winter. Mm-hmm.
It's really nice to have the goals for an increase in traffic. We hope that the trickle down and many droplets, as you say, provides that, because it doesn't really feel like there's any one or two things or three things that are going to contribute that in and of themselves.
Yes.
For our community.
That diversification is also steady for us. So I love that.
Yeah, I mean, the airlines love how hedged Grand Junction as a market is. You know, if tourism, if discretionary income takes a hit, our industry tends to take a big hit. And I think at our airport, the hit would be a lot smaller than at, you know, the surrounding airports, for example, that are very leisure-focused. So I wanted to go over the air service goals one by one because I think those ones are front and center. And it's not that air service is the most important thing we do at the airport, but without strong air service growth, it really limits what else we can do. To hit on a few of the other goals, so under airport sustainability, we mean that in the round sense. So obviously the runway project, we need to keep cruising along, really proud of the work out there. Need to stay on budget, on or ahead of schedule. We need to keep working with our partners with the FAA to optimize the schedule. As Colin talked about last month, when we talked about the applications, the FAA is really proud of the year they had last year, where they awarded us the extra $17 million. And so we're working with them on another big year likely in 2026, where we can we'll be bidding out the pavement itself, that construction, and looking at a similar strategy. So that is really important. We've talked about that at length. I don't have to tell you, but the efficiency in every sense of the word, operational, financial, and quality.
You bring up a really interesting point. We've done really well with the schedule of the new runway and have received available funds from the FAA kind of on an accelerated basis as a result. I've been hearing about concerns about different federal agencies funding. Has there been any internal discussion about concerns around funding in the FAA? Or
there hasn't been right now. Our partners at the FAA, they're all civil engineers who work with airports on these projects. And I bring that up because they are very shy to make predictions about the political environment.
Sure.
And so they're really waiting to hear. You know, right now I think the biggest impact for them is they all work from home every day except Wednesday, and I'm pretty sure they're going to have to start going back to the office and at the airport. We're hoping that doesn't hurt their staffing levels, because we know them and we know they're kind of scattered all over around the Denver area. So right now that's the hot topic, if you will. But overall, the Airport Improvement Program, the AIP program that our runway project is funded through, that is funded through the Airport and Airway Trust Fund, which is where all the excise taxes on aviation go to. So because there's dedicated funding, you know, knock on wood, typically, these programs are fairly insulated from more sweeping changes because it's not coming from the general fund. Now, the bill program, that is different. That comes from the general fund. We get those bill allocations. Those are smaller dollars. That's where the funds that we're using, for example, to replace the loading bridges. So when it comes to the terminal and expansion there, you know, certainly we're eager to see how that will work. But because those funds are already appropriated, even that, the industry trade groups don't seem to be concerned about, but it's more programs like that in the future.
Thank you.
A couple other ones I wanted to touch on. Obviously, we'll be repairing the tower this year, so you see that goal pop up. We're stoked about that grant. Again, that's a 100% grant, 100% funding grant, the $1.3 million, and we're hoping it can fully repair the cab of the tower. Our airline use and lease agreements, they're 3-year agreements with lots of extension options. They expire this year and we'll need the airlines to extend. The airline legal teams were really shy about wanting to sign more than 3-year agreements because we're so close to the pandemic. So that's a really important goal up there. It doesn't sound very cool, but it's really important to the stability of the airport, and especially when we think about thinking of the future, wanting to expand at the airport, should we need to issue debt, which I think we probably will at some point, it's really important that you have those airline use and lease agreements that are active, because that's the funding source that you look at and you're like, oh, the airlines are on the hook for covering costs at the airport, and so you tend to pay a lot less for your debt. And then 2F, incorporating our resiliency goals that were established last year into all of our projects, we're really excited about that. I mean, it's been really fun as we're working on the parking expansion to talk about and really plan for covered parking in our main parking lot. So you actually see that show up also in advancing airport development. 3D, preparing for that covered parking with solar. As we've dug into that, we've mostly been Ben and I, Ben really digging into the Excel numbers, thank you, Ben. It's become clear that is a project that is just going to make a lot of sense for the airport. We need to generate more power. Electrification of aircraft is something that's anticipated to be highly disruptive in aviation, mostly better. But if you operate an airport and all of a sudden you have to be able to charge electric aircraft, you better have the resources needed. So we're really excited about that, but really those resiliency goals, getting to have those as part of each project, it provides the definition that our team has been craving to really determine how we can optimize projects to meet our broader set of airport goals.
May I, on this topic of resiliency, I know we talked about a little before, learning more about this carbon neutral airport accreditation and seeing if we could pursue something like that for this airport.
Yeah, that's a program, and I'll actually ask Dan to chime in because Dan is highly familiar with this as an airport attorney. That's a program that we've kind of been exploring more loosely. Right now, we have so much on our plate that the commitment level in pursuing that program is pretty high. And so, you know, as we've looked at it, we've thought in terms of just limited resources, and we would have to look at what we're not going to do so that we could do that instead. And right now, that doesn't seem to make the most sense for us. Instead, and this is just from a staff perspective, you know, the way we look at it is these projects that we need to do, that we don't really have a choice but to do anyway, most of what we're doing the next year or two is almost outside of our decision. You know, we have to repair the tower, we need to keep building the runway, we need to expand parking as examples. And so the best thing we can do is really apply our resiliency goals within those. And then we also have really good partners in Colin and then the Mead and Hunt team too. The Mead and Hunt team is the leaders in the environmental initiatives in our industry and in the accreditation program. You know, we work directly with really the authors of those programs. So, Dan, I'll let you chime in because you.
Sure. I just wanted, you know, the whole board to know just kind of what Lee is talking about, that there is a program, a carbon accreditation program that was put in place by the International Airport Trade Association, Airports Council International. It's the Airport Carbon Accreditation Program. Here in North America, ACI North America handles that program. And there are, you know, several dozen airports in the U.S. and Canada that hold that certification. It's not a singular accreditation. It works on multiple levels in terms of the level of engagement by the airport and the scope of their efforts. As you know or can readily understand, so much of the emissions associated with airports comes from the aircraft that use our airports and not necessarily from the airport itself. So the Carbon Accreditation Program does a really good job of recognizing and dividing up where the emissions are coming from and what level of effort is being undertaken by the airport. So it is a tried and true program. It is a lot of work to be to gain the accreditation. But as Angela said, it's something that we're tracking. We understand the board's interest and certainly trying to do our due diligence to see whether or not it makes sense now or in the future for this airport.
Dan, just a clarifying question. So you gain the accreditation, but then you also have to maintain it, that sounds like?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. You have to maintain it on an annual basis, and you can sort of get in at the ground level. So it ratchets up in terms of the levels. You could be accredited at a level 2, level 3, and then you can either hold steady or you can sort of make your way up the ladder with the level of engagement, the level of effort, and the scope of the emissions that you're trying to combat and address.
I wonder if it's similar to construction and the LEED certification for building where you may be doing most of the things already and it's just a mountain of paperwork that you add, but it does show that you care.
Yeah, there are some, especially the entry level levels, it's pretty simple, kind of just acknowledging that you want to be part of the program. Mm-hmm. And then there are some pretty easy gains available to you, primarily one that you buy carbon credits for your electricity. Mm-hmm. so that all the electricity you're using at the airport comes from sustainable resources, and that's a pretty big checkbox. And I guess we look at not necessarily a ton of work, it's more just deciding that that's where you're going to direct your electric purchases from. And there are no other airports in Colorado that have that accreditation at any level, which was kind of surprising to me for Denver because, I mean, literally the first level is just like, yeah, we're going to try to do something. It doesn't take a huge level of commitment. But I would like to see us, I do realize there's a level of work there, but it may be worthwhile to get on board with a consultant that could kind of look at our operation and say, here's what I think it would take to get these different levels, just so that as a board, we can kind of make a decision, is that something we want to spend our resources on or not?
My assumption is that if no airport in Colorado has done it, there's probably a good reason why they haven't done it. I mean, we've got airports up in Eagle, Vale, Aspen, who would love to check this box, much more so than probably our community. I see this more as an ancillary goal. If we can check the box without doing much more work, but maintain kind of our focus on our goals here, I'd be happy with that. But I don't think we should make a big lift towards, and I don't know much about this program, but I don't want to make a big lift towards a box checking exercises or diverting our resources to buy electricity elsewhere when we get it cheaper here and such. But I understand what you're getting at.
Yeah. No, I agree with you, and I definitely agree with Angela that our focus now, obviously that runway, our focus is providing the highest level of customer service. Those are much higher priorities than this, even in my view. But I do believe it's something that we should have either explored or in the works, or just kind of have it in our back pocket, because there are a lot of large airports all around the world and all over the U.S. that are in some level. And that's why I was like surprised that Denver wasn't even in that, like at the very primary level.
What's the benefit, other than reducing your carbon emissions? What is the benefit?
I think it's a PR benefit. I think
I was going to ask that too.
Yeah. I think there's a bit of bragging rights to say that, you know, that we're looking to not only be sustainable for the airport, but sustainable for the community. And I think there's a component to that.
There's no economic or status or better grant opportunities or anything?
Not to my knowledge. Okay. Not to my knowledge.
I think Thaddeus also brings up an interesting point. As we talked about LEED certification, we're working with the Gensler team on a terminal expansion, which hasn't come up very much in this conversation, but our resiliency goals actually came out of that whole conversation. And as we start doing work with this small and mighty team, diverting time and resources, I just have that kind of top of mind, right? Like, good effort. I mean, I know CMU with the geothermal, like, this region will embrace these energy efficiencies and sustainability, but I think not at the expense of the small, mighty team being distracted or finances being distracted. But I think also just terminal expansion, to my point, like, the team we have at Gensler, they know LEED certification like the back of their hand. And even if it were not going for the gold or the silver, just a basic as we're thinking about resiliency and wrapping that into the work that's being done, I think is a really cool statement too. So not to dismiss your comments, but just to say I think that we're all aligned in a lot of these things. We're just maybe going about it just a little differently.
Are we pursuing LEED certification on the terminal expansion?
Not yet, no.
Well, and that even has changed in recent years. The LEED certification was so paperwork intense, folks started following the Energy Star method, which you're selecting materials, you're selecting manufacturing techniques, and you're creating your envelope for energy efficiency in a lot of the same ways, but you don't have to hire extra staff just to maintain all, literally just all of the tracking of it. I wonder whether or not the carbon credits are going to continue to find that right level as well, where they figure out the right amount of tracking so that you're actually verifying that you're doing something about it, but in a way that does continue to allow you to point at the goal.
Yeah.
Well, we won't know that till we take action to figure that out.
Right.
So right now it's all speculation.
Yeah, good conversation.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Dan, thanks for weighing in on that, and both from the resource management financially, as well as personnel staff and time, and having the opportunity to look at those when they come up in the future that are clear wins for the airport as they develop and become more concrete. So thank you, Lee. Other questions regarding the goals? Appreciate spending the time putting these together for us. Do any of the commissioners see anything on there, like the Grand Junction runway run they'd like to do, or something else they want to contribute towards these goals?
Tom is silently nominating me for my whole family for that runway run. I was like, we don't all run.
Free admission.
For commission.
Yeah. If the money has been there.
now when you don't, no. And prepare for the next air show. That's going to be huge. It's always nice to have an air show here. And commissioner involvement, engagement with that's a good priority for you. So.
On that note, I do hope that Clay will be at a future board meeting, next couple board meetings, just give everyone an update. So Clay Tuffley is the chair of the air show board. He is a past airport board commissioner as well, finance audit committee member. But that air show is run by a separate organization, and so it's nice to bring him to get updates now that he's not on the board. We used to just get to have it more organically.
Yeah.
Is there a date set for the air show?
There is, but I don't want to be the one who breaks it.
I think
the plan is a 2026 air show. So.
October 2026. Do you remember the exact dates?
No.
It's in October 2026. I can tell you that.
Ooh, more to come on that. That sounds exciting. Thanks for teasing that one up, guys. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay, we have a couple more items on the agenda, our executive director report, and finance and audit, and CIP update. So keep moving along those directions. Angela.
And actually, on the goals, please send me any feedback you have. Typically, what we do is discuss them in January and bring them for board approval in February. As I mentioned, and very excited about 2024 was our busiest year ever. As measured by passenger traffic, we saw way more passengers than we've ever had before. And unlike 2021, our passenger traffic was fairly even throughout the year. So, you know, here I think it's a nice depiction. You can see that we peak in the third quarter, but that peak is not, I mean, that's really more of a rolling hill than a mountain there. Our traffic is consistent year round. As is our air service, and we know that that's really important to the community we serve. Next slide, please. Just digging in a little bit more on air service for last year. It was a great year for capacity. I mentioned that. It was our second highest year ever for scheduled seats. That's behind only 2021, but we know that those airplanes were not full, right? We didn't retain a lot of that air service. But we continue to see air service grow. Seats are up 3% the first half of this year, and it's astonishing when you zoom out of it to see that seat capacity has grown by more than 30% in the last 10 years. I didn't have time to look, but I don't think the population's grown by that much in the last 10 years. As
I don't know.
If you give a mouse a cookie, right? Like, that's the way my brain works. So I'm very eager with this data to just dig in more and say, hey, how does that compare to other trends? But overall, this is a really good sign for us. Not a lot of regional airports are seeing these types of trends. And then talk a little bit about our growth in seats per departure. So that really measures the size of the aircraft. And we're continuing to attract larger aircraft. As I mentioned before, I expect that will actually go down a little bit in 2025, which isn't a bad thing, because at our airport, you know, we typically prefer more frequency to larger aircraft if we get to pick. We want to give passengers as many options as possible, but overall, really glad to see the investment we're seeing from airlines. Next. Sorry, they look similar enough to where I thought. United has grown. I wanted to point out United's growth because that's really what's been driving the massive growth of the airport. I mean, they have grown so much here. So over the last 10 years, they've grown capacity by 66%. They're obviously flying 6 flights per day right now. 2 of those are on large main lines, 4 on regional. We're starting to see them upgauge some of those regionals, especially in out months. January, February is our slowest time of year. You know, we start with January being the slowest, February is a little more busy and ramp up. But they have just grown so much. And that growth is really important when it comes to fare pressure as well. You know, we're back having 3 network carriers spread across 5 hubs. That is really helpful from a fare perspective.
What's the difference between the scheduled seats and seats per departure?
So seats per departure is the number of seats per aircraft departure. And so the seats per departure is going up because the aircraft got bigger. And the scheduled seats is just in absolute terms, the total scheduled seats.
And the reason they're converging, getting closer together?
Well, I don't really know why, they're not really getting closer together because they're actually on different axes. That's just how it looks.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Sorry.
That makes a lot more sense now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that would be really confusing.
Different axes.
Mathematically, that doesn't work. So.
We're good.
Sorry, I should have thought about that. Next slide. I know that this can be an eye chart, but what I really want you to see, this is TSA passenger volume per day. And we use a 7-day moving average. And so this is people going through the checkpoint. Most of those are passengers. We do have some staffs, concession staff, folks like that who have to go through the screening checkpoint, but that's a pretty even and steady flow. So this is a good real-time indicator. Our passenger traffic has stayed very strong. And you see that in May, that's when we really started exceeding, 2024 is in orange. So in May, we started consistently exceeding that dark blue line of 2023, and then we stayed there for the rest of the year. You can also see, when you look kind of at that summer period, that the effect of 2021, I mean, those passenger traffic levels were huge. But that was when we had, I think it was 5 weekly flights on a Velo. We had so much air service because there just weren't very many places open, so people flocked to mountains and beaches.
So on the TSA one, I noticed we've extended our queuing lines to these massive snakes that reach all the way around the edge. Are they filling those up periodically, or am I just, they are?
Sometimes it overfills.
Really?
So the way we have it set up down there, I say we, but it really is not me. It's nice because the TSA, staff have worked with the TSA to where they really only have to change, and this is mostly Cameron actually. Good job, Cameron. They really only have to change like 3 stanchions to take it from the little checkpoint queue that everyone's used to kind of, it routes people through the larger one. But because the morning departures are pretty compressed and the arrival curve is what we call it, so when people arrive at the airport, the arrival curve is really short for early morning departures. People aren't showing up 2.5 hours early for a 5 a.m. departure. The good thing is we're not actually open 2.5 hours before, only 2. But because of that, you have all these ROMs getting ready to go out, and because we have mainline ROMs now as well, it is really busy. But those investments we made in the security checkpoint and lengthening it and making investments so they could bring in the newer equipment have tremendously paid off. We just got data from last year, so I don't have it to report out to the board, but I'll take that as a note for next time. The processing speeds have improved a lot.
That was my next question, is even though the lines are big, people are still able to do their, I live regionally and I get here an hour prior and it's fine.
Yes, exactly. So that's due to a few reasons. First of all, TSA has really good staff right now.
And they're putting both sides open when it's crazy like that.
Yeah, I mean, they have that flexibility to open it. That's even with them staffing the exit lane as well, which eats up one of their employees. I mean, that's something that we absolutely, as part of our terminal projects, want to get rid of, is, you know, having to have a person stand there and watch one of that person actually working. But the equipment makes it faster. We also have much higher TSA pre-check rates than we've had historically. We've worked really hard in hosting TSA pre-check enrollment events. We've been hosting one for a couple of months now, and it is busy. So when you go down the escalator and you see at that black desk, that's what that is TSA pre-check enrollment. The seating area down there tends to be full with people for appointments, because what we've observed is that the contractor, the government contractor who runs that program, they just struggle to put their offices in places that make it easy for people. And so once you start running into barriers, and I just had to renew my passport, so it's reminding me of that experience. Once you start running into barriers, it's hard to keep going. I mean, it's not like you can't travel without pre-check, but if it feels hard, people don't enroll. And TSA pre-check throughput rates through a checkpoint are so much faster. We know that personally, but just mathematically, it's so much faster. And so our first goal is to not let the queue develop.
It doesn't seem like TSA is responding to those high rates of usage, because I know here in other airports, I'll get that TSA line, suppose it's longer than just the regular old line.
Oh, the pre-check?
Yeah, the pre-check line. Yeah, it doesn't seem like they're staffing it.
Denver has that problem sometimes. Last time I was there, they had that problem where the TSA pre-check line was longer. But even still, once you're in the checkpoint itself, the throughput rate is faster because people have to take off their shoes and the error rate on bags is higher. And
I think these new scanners are slower than the old ones for the carry-on baggage.
Oh, you think?
It just seems
that
way.
Yeah, the CT. Yeah.
I mean, ours are fine because we're never ever that crowded here, but I've seen that in airports where I'm like, this thing just, and maybe it's training on the person that's working the console too.
Yeah.
I've seen that where someone just like staring at it. I'm like, what are you staring at? You know? Just move it through.
I'm not sure.
Hopefully TSA will kind of start balancing that out. And then I've also seen in some of the big airports that had that CLEAR program, so that CLEAR and TSA and regular.
I haven't seen CLEAR to be that much faster than TSA.
No.
Well, excellent news on passenger volumes. Thank you, Angela.
Yes.
And covering the bases of things that were mentioned today.
Exciting.
I'll turn it over to Jennifer to go over the finance report. She told me, oh, this is my last one, so, well, we're not going to make Sarah
look
present
at that big smile.
We're not going to make Sarah present her first meeting, so second to last.
So I asked, I was like, can I go ahead and send the financials to Sarah so she can
read
that? not the favorite part of my job.
I do want to mention and make sure everyone knows that Jennifer has done such an incredible job. I mean, we're excited to bring back Sarah and provide that team with this extra support, but she has done a marvelous job. We pushed her right off the edge into the deep end. She has been swimming marvelously and finding all of our errors and keeping us all on track.
Fully agree.
Thank you. But yes, I will be sad. I'm excited for Sarah. Okay, so as we're reporting on the month of November, the only numbers that really stood out in the operating revenues would be non-passenger landing fees was down a little bit, and that seemed to coincide with we had fewer FedEx flights and no BLM activity for the month. As far as the expenses, supplies and materials are a little under forecast, but repairs and maintenance are a little over because we went ahead and did some pavement maintenance in this year. We expect supplies and materials to be on with forecast by the end of the year. And then the other non-operating revenue that coincides a lot with what's going on with the runway and the capital expenditures and contributions that we receive that we budget for on a yearly amount. And as you can see for November, restricted cash looks different just because we were transferring money into unrestricted to get ready for the bond payment that's coming up in December. But then the actual unrestricted cash went down because of the payments that we made on accounts payable for the projects. Okay. And again, all of the expenses, payments made over $100,000 all have to do with the capital improvement projects. Are there any questions on November's financials?
Thank you, Jennifer. Appreciate this. Colin, I think you're up next with our capital improvement plan update.
Okay. So this is the same matrix you've been seeing for a while. It's about to start updating the top three items, the schedule 5, 6, and 7, as well as the NAVAID relocation. Those items will roll off soon. We're wrapping up construction and closeout. The focus is going to be on the subbay schedule 1 and 2, really the top, I guess, the fourth and fifth line down, the schedule 1 and 2, and then the schedule 2 portion 1. That's underway right now. Later this year, we anticipate a grant for that bottom line for the portion 2. We expect that later this year, likely in September. If everyone's aware, contractors mobilized, just ready for that funding to come in. Regarding the airfield and the additional airfield and landside projects, there's a passenger boarding bridge underway, waiting on that to be procured, and then an ARC truck acquisition, which is still a ways out. They've got to actually manufacture the truck as well.
One item that I had added and copied the wrong thing in, I think, is also the parking expansion. We expect to have bids in hand and be ready by the June board meeting. I've got a few extra slides to kind of talk through the now and what's coming up in the next few months. So we talked about this, you've seen it, the lilac and red color are underway currently. The tan represents the sub-base portion that we expect that grant for later this year. But the other big push, if you'll advance the slide, is what's coming up to finish the runway. So really, we see the remainder of the whole program really consisting of two major bid packages. One is in 2026, it's that green color, and that's runway 1230. So we plan on bidding basically all the pavement, all the nav aids, everything that's needed to get a operational runway in April of 2026. Now, depending on funding, we're hopeful that we get that funded over a two-year period in 26 and 27, with construction happening in 27 and 28. And if all goes according to plan, that would be an opening in 2028. So that's really aggressive, but that's also what the FAA has asked us to push forward when talking to the procedures group and the nav aids group. So that's what we're hoping for, and that's what we're positioning for. And then in a later package, likely in 2028, it will be the other ancillary items. So the orange, the blue, and fixing the purple connection to runway 422. So any questions about that before I move on? Because there's a lot there.
Colin, is that fixing the connection on 422, is that new dirt work plus asphalt or just redoing some asphalt up there?
It's real. So right now, the taxiway alpha pavement basically makes that connection. The runways essentially intersect now. It's going to be redoing that. It's going to be a little bit of earthwork, but really building a brand new pavement section in that area.
It seems like there's connectivity to that end right now on the north side of 422. So it sounds like you have to retool it per design, and so that may take a little while.
We do.
Okay.
Yeah, a big goal of this project is really to create separation between those two runways. The FAA really doesn't like when runways intersect.
Right.
And so by separating them, we kind of create a lack of connectivity to that runway end. So that's something that the FAA is on board with readdressing.
Sounds good. Questions for Colin on this section of the upcoming work?
On the previous slide, if you can go back one, back to where you showed the schedules there. How do we have on the sub-base schedule 2 a grant award is to be determined, but a contract has already been extended versus TBD?
Correct. Yes, so if you remember, this is the one where we went ahead and awarded basically phase all of Schedule 1 and Schedule 2 to Kelly Trucking.
Mm-hmm.
However, we had that in three parts. That was a Schedule 1 and a Schedule 2 Portion 1 and a Schedule 2 Portion 2. We've received funding from the FAA for Schedule 1 and Schedule 2 Portion 1, but there's still a remaining amount that's yet to be funded.
Okay,
so that's set up to, we're gonna receive a grant for that this fall.
So when that column grant awarded means we have received the money from the FAA. Got it.
I think it was like one of your very first.
Correct.
Things.
Yep.
Okay.
Correct.
Thank you.
So we've got everything in place, and also just for, as a reminder on assurances there, if something were to happen and the FAA couldn't fund it, that money didn't come through as planned, there's an out clause in the contract. So we have the ability to terminate that agreement at that point if something happened and the funding fell through. But we definitely don't expect that to happen. But if it did, we've got an out clause.
And I guess the rest of that Paul Harvey story is we got significant price advantage by doing it the way you did it. So,
correct.
Say fairly a seven-figure kind of number.
One more slide, it's the last past that, is basically what's coming up in the next 6 months. So Thanks for advancing through those. Click one more time if you wouldn't mind. So really three things that I see on the horizon in the next 6 months. That green area that was on that last slide, we need to create a design package for all that. So we have put in a grant application for that work, but we want to ask the board to pre-fund that to get Mead and Hunt started. There's a lot to design, and we want to be positioned in 2026. I'd love to be in a world where we didn't come to you and ask you to pre-fund things in advance of grants, but I think it's really a situation where we've gotten so much money so fast that it's hard to not make that ask. So I think it's a good problem, but you know, I'd love to not be asking for pre-funding, but it's a symptom of getting so much money last year. As much as we're trying to be planful, they keep filling the bucket up. So I think it's a really good problem, but we're going to come to you in March with that fee and ask for approval, but wanted to put that on the horizon.
So Colin, I guess...
Next up is... Yes, sir.
I guess just kind of underscore the aspects of that, and for a couple members here, we originally thought this project would take us to 2030, and by being more prepared, we're kind of hearing 2028. Might be the end of that insight. So saving some money there by being prepared when the money comes about. So.
And also, if I can chime in on that, having a project shovel ready when that funding does just pop up is important. So speaking for myself, I'm very comfortable with having design done or close to done and being ready to accept funds quickly when they come available.
Absolutely. I think that's a great point. I mean, that is really the reason, for those of you that may have not been on the board, this isn't the first time we pre-funded design. We actually did this a few years ago, and we're still in the process. This year will be the final reimbursement of that, but doing that put us in this position to really advance the program, and it was because we were shovel ready and able to capture those funds. And so I think it's the right thing to do, or I wouldn't bring it to you, but anyway, it will require a commitment of pre-funding it to get those guys started. Other items, terminal parking lot expansion, we are underway on design. Expect to have bids in hand for the June meeting. And then finally is just miscellaneous terminal and tower. The Gensler team presented last month with lots of things that are going on. A lot of those things are around the $100,000 mark, or I'd create a list, and I think I will get with them and try to do that to be a little more thorough about that, see if we can't guess which ones. But that's really what's going to be on your horizon that I see for the next 6 months.
Thank you, Colin. I appreciate the insight and setting expectations for us. Any other questions for Colin before he takes off? All right. Thank you very much. Any other business which the commissioners wish to bring before the board? Okay. And entertain a motion to adjourn.
Wait, sorry, before we do that, I think we'll need to go into executive session next month.
We'll set
so
expectations
just,
for that.
Yeah, so that you all have some timing on your calendar for that as we think about executive director review.
Yep.
We'll try to plan the
okay.
meeting to minimize you guys going past them.
Thank you.
Yeah, usually the executive session is only like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have a motion on the floor to adjourn in a second? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Thank you very much. We got done 6 minutes early.
Congratulations. One way to end strong.